Am I too old to come to Japan? On this show, I'm going to talk about whether you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, is when is it too old to go to Japan? Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe. And on today's show, I thought I would talk about a question I got that someone emailed me recently off my website asking if they were too old to go to Japan. And this is actually a question that I've received a number of times. People, I guess the kind of perception is that if you want to go work in Japan and teach English, it's better to be a younger person than an older person. And so I get a lot of people in their 30s and 40s emailing me asking, you know, what are their options if they're going to go to Japan. And so I thought today I would kind of give my thoughts on if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, what are some of the pros and cons of going over to work in Japan. But first, before we get to that, there's two things I want to talk about. The first thing is this a news article that's going around the internet right now talking about the this guy, Yoshitaka Sakurada, some of that, who is the head of cybersecurity in Japan. The head of cybersecurity in Japan. And get this, he recently admitted that he has never used a computer. Now, why doesn't that surprise me? One, probably because he got the job because he was buddies with Abe and he wasn't really qualified. And two, he's like some 68-year-old Japanese geezer. Of course not. Well, like he would have no clue about computers. And I've said this many times before, is that when it comes to technology, the Japanese are really out to lunch and they are getting passed, I think, by a lot of other countries. I mean, sure, there's people, old people in all countries around the world who are not so great at technology. That's not uncommon. But actually what's kind of concerning, though, in Japan is that there's a lot of young people who are also clueless about technology as well. And it's kind of a bad situation over there because you have all these old people who are just basically clueless about anything outside of Japan. And because they live so long, they work forever. Like this dude is 68 years old and he's still working. He's actually the head of the 2020 Olympics as well. And so what happens is you got these old geezers who are just, you know, clueless about what's going on, working for a long time. And it makes it really hard for any younger person to move up into the company, into positions of power, who might actually know what's going on outside of Japan because they basically have to wait for these old geezers to die or retire. So, yeah, it's just kind of funny that this guy is admitted. He's the head of cybersecurity. And actually, I saw someone posted on Twitter and said that maybe that's his strategy. By not using computers, Chinese hackers have nothing to hack. That's so funny. Oh my God. Second thing I want to talk about is this show, Tokyo Podcast. I'm wondering if there's anyone out there listening who would be interested in taking over this show for me. And the reason why is, like I mentioned before, this show still gets a surprisingly high number of downloads every single month. It varies from about 2,000 up to 4,000 sometimes, depending on if I produce a show or not. So that's a pretty good number, especially compared to some of the other Japan-based podcasts, which I know their numbers are, and some of them are not even as high as that, and they've been out a long time. So I feel like there's a lot of potential for the show. There's a lot of revenue potential for the show if you're in Japan and you wanted to pursue that route. This is all based on some of the other shows, and I know what their numbers are, I know what their revenues are. So if you're in Japan and you wanted to kind of monetize the show, I don't think it would be very difficult to do at all. Obviously, a lot of hard to do when I am in Canada. So I've been thinking about what to do with it now. Obviously, I don't produce the show that often. And the further, the longer it is I'm away from Japan, I don't see any point in doing a show anymore because I'm not really up to date on what's going on over there, you know. So, but like I said, like I think it'd be a shame to take everything down considering the traffic that everything gets. So if anyone's interested in taking over the website, social media, this podcast, et cetera, feel free to reach out to me on my website and let me know what you think. Okay. So, on today's show, talk about, am I too old to go to Japan? And the answer is no. Obviously, if this 68-year-old geezer has no clue about computers can work in Japan, you can't too. But let me talk about something like 20s, 30s, and 40s. So let me start with the 20s. If you're in your 20s and you're thinking about going to work in Japan, I think you should absolutely do it. It's really a no-brainer. If you have the opportunity to leave your country and go to another country and spend some time in a foreign environment, foreign culture, then I absolutely think you should do it. Especially if you're in your 20s. Because in your 20s, you have lots of time left. You can start over a lot. You know, you really probably don't know kind of what direction your life want to take is yet. So if you're in that position, it's really good to experience as many things as you can to kind of really kind of get an idea of what things that you think you could pursue. So, and I think one of the best ways to do that is really immerse yourself in a totally different culture. And Japan really is a different culture because it's so unlike any other culture in the world. So if you're in your 20s, yeah, go there. Most likely you'll be teaching English over there. It's one of the easiest jobs for you to get. Companies like to hire a lot of young people because there's like just literally an endless stream of them that are willing to come over. And you can almost start work right away. And in fact, if you are in your 20s, there's two things I recommend you do. One is, if you can, try to get a working holiday visa. Because if you can control your visa, you have a little bit more control over what type of job that you're going to do over there. One of the problems with Japan is they don't really want foreigners there. And they don't really want you to work there. So they make it kind of hard for you to stay there for any length of time. They'll give you like a one-year work visa 10 times in a row instead of giving you like a longer 2-5-year visa or something like that. Because if you screw up or, you know, you do something that's not Japanese and they want to be able to kick you out as easily as possible. So this makes it really tough because, if you're job hunting, for example, you have to be careful that you don't miss out on the opportunity to get your work visa. So if you can control your visa, you're in a lot better position. And if you're in your 20s, you can do that easily with the working holiday visa, depending on what country you're from, of course. But if you're in a country that supports the working holiday visa, I definitely recommend getting that. And then going to Japan and then trying to find work when you're there. Because it's a lot easier to find work in Japan than it is outside of Japan. Because once again, technology, Japanese companies don't like to do interviews over Skype. They are like, what's this person inside this computer? How will I know if they are Japanese or not? So they like to do interviews in person. So get that. If you can't get that, then I suggest the second option is find one of the companies that hires overseas. The only one that comes to my mind off right now is a company called ECC. And I'm sure there's other ones, but I just can only remember ECC. But what they do is they have like these hiring road shows where they go around to different parts of the world and they do a bunch of interviews at once and they'll hire you directly from your home country. So I know they have them in America and in Europe and I think in Australia as well. And this is a great way to come to Japan this doesn't matter how old you are. You can do this no matter what age you are. So if you go on their website, you'll see what city they're hiring in next. Go to that city, do the interview. If they hire you, then they'll basically handhold you the whole way to Japan. They'll arrange for your visa. They might even arrange for your apartment and all this kind of stuff. It's really probably the easiest way to get to Japan. So those are the two things that I recommend you do. If you're in your 20s, try to come on a working holiday visa or try to get hired overseas. The other option is actually just to come to Japan and look for a job there on a tourist visa. But that's really difficult because you only get a 3-month window for a tourist visa. And sometimes to convert a tourist visa to a working visa can take up to 3 or 4 months. So you might even run out of time before you actually get the visa. So try to get the job before you even go to Japan. A couple of things that are not so great if you're in your 20s and you're going to Japan. English teaching is pretty much a shit job. No matter what anyone says. So I know there's a lot of people there who have been doing it for like 10 years or something like that. And they're like, yeah, man, it's my career. And, you know, good for you, but let's face it, it's not really a job that you want to do long term, especially when you consider the fact that back in the bubble era, people were getting like $100 an hour to teach English. And now that rate is down to like $10 an hour. So you can tell that this is not an industry that is growing, right? And it's kind of the industry is kind of racing to the bottom as to how cheaply they can offer this service and then consequently how cheaply they can pay the teachers. So it's not a great job. you're not really a teacher per se, as more of an entertainer. If you can entertain the students, then they keep coming back, then the company's happy. You might even be tasked with part sales, because these Japanese language companies, I mean, they're run by, you know, old geezers like this cybersecurity guy, who basically they don't speak any English, so they have no clue about the product and they have no clue how to sell it. So they rely on the teachers to sell it. And they'll set quotas for you to try to sell products to the students, even if it doesn't help the student at all. So you might, if you just want to go there and teach, maybe even have some teaching background, don't be surprised if you get stuck doing sales as well as trying to sell stuff to these students. So the bosses can feel good that they hit their targets. It's not a great job. But it's a good place to get started, because the thing is, this is that in Japan, there's really not a lot of other opportunities for foreigners. And I used to see this question all the time. People say, like, I'm a plumber, or I'm an electrician, or I make jewelry, or I'm this or I'm that in my home country. Can I come do that in Japan? And the answer is almost always no, because, well, actually, it's not really no so much as the answer is depends on how good your Japanese is. If your Japanese is fluent, if you're, you know, almost native level Japanese, then you increase your chances of being able to find work in that particular field. However, the Japanese companies will almost always hire a Japanese person over a foreigner. So if you're, say, a plumber or a carpenter or some other tradesperson, there's lots of construction going on in Japan, but they're not really too keen to hire foreigners. They can easily hire Japanese. And there's tons of old guys just sitting around doing nothing who they can hire. So they don't really have any incentive to hire you. And they have really less incentive to hire you if you don't speak any Japanese. If you don't speak any Japanese, they're really not going to hire you. So if you want to do anything but teach English, you have to have a really high level of Japanese. So your English teaching is going to be your main route. And there's one other thing I want to mention about if you're coming in your 20s, is if you're coming in your 20s and you haven't traveled overseas a lot before, maybe this is your first trip or something like that, I would seriously give some thought to how long you plan on staying in Japan and mark that day on the calendar. Because a couple of reasons. One is, when you live abroad, time seems to go by a lot faster. and you get some work, you get your apartment, meet some friends and all that. You can be having a lot of fun, and that fun can go by really quickly. And what I mean is, like, you might think, like, I'm going to go to Japan just for a year, but then you're having so much fun, you're not paying attention to time, and then boom, like 3 years go by and you didn't even realize it. And so the thing I've found is that if you're in your 20s and you're planning on having a career back home, you can end up spending a long time in Japan without even thinking about it. And second thing is, this applies more to people who've been there, like, for, say, like a decade or so. But if you are able to work in a Japanese company, or you spend a lot of time around other Japanese people, I've seen a lot of people in their 30s who start to act and think like the Japanese. And almost always they came to Japan in their 20s. And they taught English for a bit, and then their Japanese level improved, so they got out of English teaching and they got into some Japanese company, and they basically just started working in various Japanese companies for 8 to 10 years or so. So they're in their 30s now, and I've noticed that they really think and act like a Japanese. And what I mean by that is that the Japanese culture is designed to prevent people from making their own decisions. From birth, these people are taught how to act and what to do. You know, you got to get into this university or this high school, because you got to get into this high school sends people to this university, and this university sends people to this company. And once you get in that company, the boss says, okay, so you studied marketing. Great. You're going to be in our accounting department. And that's it. You don't have any say in the matter. You're constantly told what to do. So the Japanese really have a hard time expressing their own opinion or making any kind of decision like that. And so this is what I've seen in a lot of foreigners who spent significant time in Japan, especially when they came there when they're really young. Because if you come in your 20s, you're quite impressionable still. You obviously want to try to adapt to the culture a bit. And I think it, without even realizing it, that they start to lose that ability to make decisions on their own. And it's not a problem if you want to stay in Japan forever. But if you try to go back home with that mentality, especially if you're going back to, say, a Western country, I think you're really going to struggle. So keep that in mind, because 10 years in Japan from 20s to 30s can go by really quickly. And I think your future employment opportunities are extremely limited if you've spent 10 years in Japan and you also come back with the Japanese mentality, because very few work opportunities in Japan can transfer back to your home country. So just keep that in mind. If you're in your 20s, go to Japan. Of course, it's super fun. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot. But keep an eye on the clock and the calendar and kind of what you're doing with your career, because if you want to come back home and then start kind of your real career, I wouldn't spend a lot of time in Japan. Okay, so if you're in your 30s, this is the one I get a lot. People are like, most people in their 30s want to come to Japan. They think they're too old because they're not in 20s anymore. But the thing is this. What Japanese, like, think about Japan. What did I just say? Like, the whole country is just all structured, right? And so what do Japanese companies love? They love employees who follow direction. Just like an ant, like in an ant colony, right? They don't really care for you to come and express your personality. That's not the Japanese way. So what companies really look for is employees that are mature and will follow directions. And if you're in your 30s and you can demonstrate that you have this maturity, that you are, you know, past your kind of party stage and you're willing to work, you are more likely to get hired than someone in their 20s. Because let's be honest, most of the young people who come to Japan are fans of anime and manga. And I don't think I'm offending anyone when I say that. These people typically are fans of this because they like immersing themselves in the fantasy of what they're seeing or what they're reading, because their real life situation is not so great. And so when you get these kind of people come to Japan, they really lack social skills and they struggle many times working in such a rigid environment. So that's why there's such a revolving door of English teachers, because there's so many coming and then so many leave. But if you're in your 30s and you can demonstrate you have some professionalism, you can communicate well, you bring some maturity to the job, you will more than likely be able to get a higher paying English teaching job, or even a job in like an industry outside of English teaching. There's slowly starting to be more and more companies, specifically tech companies, that are hiring foreigners now. Because one, I think they realize that their Japanese developers suck and they don't know what they're doing. And two is that a lot of tech companies want to look like they're international, so they hire a couple foreigners, kind of token foreigners, and just basically expect you to act like Japanese anyways. But slowly, I'm starting to see some startups and Japanese tech companies starting to hire foreigners because they're starting to kind of realize what the international market offers them. So you might be able to skip the English teaching route altogether and just go into one of these companies. So if you're in your 30s and you have some experience in working in a company and dealing with people, yeah, you should probably be able to get a pretty good paying job in Japan relatively easily. Keep in mind that the hiring season in Japan is in April, so they usually do a lot of start their hiring in like January, February, March. So if you want like the best jobs possible, that's the time you want to be in Japan. Now, keep in mind what I said earlier: Japanese companies, no matter how advanced or they are, they still don't do a lot of hiring overseas. So they still expect you to be in Japan. And one of the reasons why they want you in Japan, they basically want you in Japan so they can see you, because they like to do everything in the flesh. And two is they want to see that you've worked for another Japanese company, because their feeling is if you work for another Japanese company, then you must understand the Japanese way and there's no risk of hiring you. And how Japanese companies will look at you is you may be qualified on paper for the job. Say they're hiring for like a software development position. You may be qualified on paper for the job, but that's not what they look at. They look at, how do you describe it? They look at, Can you be a Japanese in their company? Will you cause uncomfortableness in the company with your foreign barbarian gaijin ways? Like, what if you don't take off your shoes when you come to the office? Or what if you don't bow to the boss or all this other like miscellaneous tiny little things? That's what they're really looking at. So if you've demonstrated that you've worked for another Japanese company, in their brain they think, oh, well, he must have learned everything at that company, made all the mistakes over there, so when we hire him, he'll be perfect for our company. So that's really kind of what they're looking at. So if you can demonstrate that you understand the Japanese way and all that, then yeah, starting in January. So just make sure you're there, make sure you've got a visa, and you should have no problem getting a pretty decent paying job over there. Just a side note about software development, because I get a lot of people asking me about that too. If you want to work in software in Japan, your salary is going to be nowhere close to what you're getting in Silicon Valley. Like, software development in Japan pays peanuts compared to what you're going to get in Silicon Valley. Or even like Singapore or Toronto or London or anywhere else. But keep in mind also too, is the cost of living in Japan is not that high. In Tokyo anyways. I don't know. Yeah, actually, maybe in the whole of Japan. I guess Tokyo would be the most expensive place in Japan. But in Tokyo, the cost of living is not that high if you're smart. You know, if you go rent some crazy-ass apartment like in the foreign gaijin area of Tokyo, then yeah, you're going to be screwed. But if you live kind of more Japanese lifestyle, I find that the cost of living in Tokyo is much cheaper than here in Canada. And especially if you're working in like San Francisco or anywhere around that area, cost of living there will be, in Tokyo will be peanuts compared to back in San Francisco. But your salary would be a lot less too. So yeah, you know, if you can bring that level of maturity, you should have no problems finding a job. Some of the cons about working in your 30s is, well, if you can't find a decent paying job, you'll have no problem getting an English teaching job, but then you'll end up working with a lot of 20-something anime lovers. And if you're not into anime and manga, well, those are going to be your coworkers. If you like that stuff, then fantastic. If you want to stay in Japan and pursue any kind of career or profession, you will need to learn Japanese. Because like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what you did back home. Japanese companies are looking to see, you know, what's your Japanese level and how Japanese-y can you be in a company. So really the real opportunities in Japan are available to those who speak Japanese. So you should start studying the language right away, and that will dramatically increase the options available to you. But keep in mind, it takes a few years to be able to master the language to a business level where you can work in a Japanese company. So if your goal is to work in a Japanese company, you got to give yourself at least 2 to 3 years to learn the language while you're working in some crappy English teaching job before you can start to kind of look elsewhere. So just keep that in mind. Especially now, I think, because the Olympics are coming, you know, the Japan right now is really probably more outwardly looking than they've been in the last like 10, 20 years or so because of the Olympics. And so they're really desperate to try to put on this international appearance for the world when the world shows up in 2020. So if I think now is a good time to find a work, because companies are willing to hire basically a token foreigner to be in their office, probably more so now than they ever were before. But like I said, same thing I said for the 20s is keep an eye on the clock, keep an eye on the calendar. And if your goal is not to spend forever in Japan, it's just a few years, plan your exit early, because it's very easy to get kind of stuck there. And rarely does the work you do there translate to what you're doing back home. So just keep that in mind. And the last one is, if you're an old geezer like me and you're in your 40s, should you go to Japan? Think about this. Japan is an old society, right? 25% of the population are over 45. And the biggest market in Japan is anyone that caters to the senior group. It's actually funny. I saw this saying the other day. It said like Japan is a country of old people taking care of older people. So they do value people who have some age to them. And like I said, for the people in the 30s, if you can bring a level of maturity, then companies are more willing to hire. Especially, for example, for English teaching, you know, most of their clients are going to be old people. And you know, if you got some, you know, like 65-year-old salaryman, how much is he going to be able to communicate with some 20-something American? There's such a huge age gap and culture gap and gender gap that discussion might be challenging. But if you're in your 40s plus and you can relate to these people a little bit more, then you're more likely to, you know, get a good job and keep it. So just kind of keep that in mind. Having said that, the Japanese, once again, like I mentioned before, it's like a giant ant colony. So everyone has a role in a specific place. And one of the things that they feel strongly about or think about, they may not say it, but it's in the back of their mind, is what you should be doing at your particular age group. So if you're in your 40s, in the Japanese mindset, you should be working for some big international company as a little cog in the giant wheel. It's strange for them to think that you've given that up and to move overseas to teach English or do what they perceive as a young person's job. So getting hired for an English teaching job in your 40s might be a little bit challenging because of this. Now, they'll never say it, but it will be kind of on the back of their mind. You can overcome that by, like I said, presenting yourself in a more professional manner. But there is a lot of ageism, I think they call it, ageism, in Japan, just because they have this structured society and they expect everybody to be doing specific things at a certain age. So keep that in mind. If you are thinking about going to Japan in your 40s and you don't want to teach English, I would look for international companies in your country that have headquarters or a branch office or something in Japan and look to get a transfer that way. Because there's a lot of companies that have headquarters in Japan that cater to the Asian market, and that would be a much easier option for you to just do a transfer that way and go over there for a few years. Having said that, if you are in your 40s and you're in a company or a job that you hate and you're thinking about maybe like making a life change, then yeah, I think you totally should. Same with the people in their 20s, you know. Go to Japan for a few years. Is it a safe country? If you got some money saved up and you don't have to find work right away, it's really cheap to live there. You can travel around. And I think doing like a mid-career break for a few years is a great way to kick off like a new direction in your life that you may not have thought of originally. You know, based out of Japan, traveling around Asia, and kind of give yourself some time to discover maybe new aspects of your life that you never thought about before. But once again, though, just keep an eye on the clock because, you know, when you live in an expat and you're, I did this for a while. Like I sold my business when I was 35 and I basically kind of took 2 years off to travel around and I went to Europe and I went to Asia and it was super fun. I really enjoyed it, but man, did those 2 years ever go by fast. And then when I had to start thinking about getting work again, I was like, God, I don't want to go back to work. It's fun not working. So keep that in mind because you might think I'm going to take like a 1 year sabbatical or take a 6 month or whatever. And that time will go by really quickly. But I definitely think that is a good idea if you're in your 40s and you're kind of plateaued out a bit and you're looking for a change, buy a Porsche or go overseas. You know, one of the other things too I'll talk about in your 40s if you're living in Japan is that, you know, same thing with the 30s. If you do teach English, it's a dead end job. Your coworkers are going to be young 20 anime lovers, and the job itself is not very exciting because to be honest, the Japanese are really not really interesting people. Their lives are so structured that they don't do a lot of things that are different. So you have like 10 classes in a row, and basically you could have the same conversation with every single one of them. So it's a little bit mind numbing. And the other thing that I found personally for myself too is that being in my 40s, there's not a lot of people like me in Japan who are that age, who are not kind of already established in Japan. So what I mean is like there's a lot of 20 somethings who are kind of come and go, and when you count to the 40s age, a lot of the foreigners are ones who've already been in Japan for a long time. They're the ones who came in their 20s and they just basically stayed. So they're usually married, they got Japanese wife and kids and all that. And so I found that these people were... So I found it actually a little bit hard to kind of make friends in Japan because there's not basically not a lot of single 40-year-old people in foreigners in Japan. Like most of them are married. They got family. They got kids. They've been there a long time. There's not a lot of them who kind of lead a lifestyle that I did where I'm a little bit more free and a little bit more open to trying new and different things. And like I said, if someone's been there in 20 years in Japan, they got family and kids and all that, they're all Japanese out, you know? It's game over for them. So you'll find that there's a lot of foreigners there who kind of, they came over during the bubble era in Japan, and they're still kind of stuck in that bubble mentality. And they basically like staying there because of the attention that they received when they first got there. And even though that attention is waning, and they're clinging to it for as long as they can. And I found it hard to relate to these kinds of people, put it that way. For example, I'll give you an example. I remember once I was in Roppongi. If you don't know, Roppongi is this area of Tokyo. It's quite popular with foreigners because a lot of foreigners live in there. It's kind of like a lot of nightclubs and bars in that area. And I rarely went to this area, but I can't remember why I was in that area late at night. I think I was coming back from some kind of meeting or something like that, walking to the train station. And I ran into these two guys that I sort of knew. And both of these guys have been in Japan for years, probably well over 20 years. One was probably in his late 40s. The other one was in his like 60s. And these guys were standing on the side of the road there, drinking beers, and basically ogling the girls as they walked by. And they even invited me to join them. Like, and they're so proud of their little girl-watching spot. They're like, yeah, man, this is the best place to check out all the girls in Roppongi. Do you want to sit here and join us? And I was looking like, God, that's so pathetic. You guys are old as fuck, and you're sitting here on a Saturday night drinking beers and just staring at 20-something Japanese girls. Like, come on. You probably done that since you were in your 20s, and you're here you are 40 years later. You're doing the same thing. So this is what I kind of found in Japan, is that it seems to be a large number of these foreigners who just haven't matured from when they got there. They went to Japan, they got some notoriety because they're a foreigner, and they've basically been milking that for the last like 10, 20 years. So not all of them, of course, because I did meet some others who are kind of more like me, who maybe bounced around a bit more, wasn't really stuck in Japan, went back home frequently, traveled internationally frequently. But I found that, that group was actually quite small, and it was kind of hard for me to meet those kinds of people. I saw a lot more of the other kind of foreigners who are kind of stuck in Japan, didn't really want to be there, but knew they couldn't go back home. So they're trying to kind of milk their gaijin celebrity for as much as they can. And these are not the people that I really wanted to associate with. So that's one of the negatives I think about going to Japan in your 40s is I think it's harder to find a social group than it would be back home. I think if you really wanted to build an active social life, you would need to learn Japanese so you can start to make Japanese friends. In your 20s, you don't have to worry about it because most of your coworkers will be your friends. You go to the bars, there's just tons of 20-year-olds there. In the 30s, it's kind of the same thing. But if you're 40-plus, unless you want to be that old guy in the club or you want to be standing on the street corner, you know, checking out the Japanese girls, I found it challenging to meet friends that are people I wanted to associate with. So just keep that in mind if you're 40-plus. So anyway, so that's it. That kind of gives you some pros and cons of going to Japan. Hopefully that helps you make your decision. And like I said, like I think no matter what age you are, I think it's fantastic to go overseas, live abroad for a few years, because it really teaches you a lot about yourself. And I think more importantly, it teaches you a lot about different perspectives. Now, when you see the news or when you see people talk about things, you can kind of have a bit of an understanding about what the other side of the story is, what the real story is. So I think living overseas for any length of time is really a fantastic option, and everyone should do it. Including this Yoshida Takada guy. This guy should seriously go to America and learn how to use a computer. So anyways, that's it. That wraps up this episode of Tokyo Podcast. Like I said, if anyone's interested in taking over the show from me, I'd be happy to discuss it with you. Otherwise, I'm probably going to just take it down. after I do a few more shows. But I thought I'd pump out a few shows and to see if there's any interest. And if you are, just visit my website, tokyopodcast.com, and message me off there, and I'll be happy to discuss it with you. So that's it. That wraps up this episode of Tokyo Podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Anthony Joe, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.